feel Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Let's keep Pastor Mickey in prayer this morning. He's recovering quite well since his gallbladder was removed. I went and had a small service with him this morning, and he still continued to try to give me his scriptures and his notes for this morning. Come on, man. I'm going to use your phrase. Deep breath. Give me a break. So, let's continue to pray for him as he continues to recover. And thank you for coming out. Thank you for choosing First Assembly this morning. And God bless you. Come and rejoice with us. Sing this morning. Allow the freedom of the Holy Spirit to run through your heart, mind, and your soul. Allow freedom to come into this place because there's liberty here. And where there's liberty, there's freedom. Praise God. God bless you. Listen to our choir as they come. As they sing before you, sing along with them. God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
over 2,000 years ago, and would have said, he's gone. He is risen. This morning, he is missing. He's risen. He's here. He's with us. He brings with us.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. God bless you as you give into your tithes and offering, and God bless you as we worship the name of the Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. We give you the praise and we thank you for this day. We thank you, Father, for each and every person that is here this morning. We thank you for those with gifts. We thank you for those, Father, who were unable to give gifts. And we pray, Lord, that you're blessed together with those who can. I pray for miracles in every man's life this morning, Father, that whatever the case is in their life before they leave this morning, the power and the transformation of the Holy Spirit will intertwine in their heart, mind, and soul, and they can leave here freedom in spirit. In Christ's name, which we have prayed. Amen. I said, guys, don't feel right about this. I woke up at 5 o'clock and changed. And I feel confident about this. He is risen. The cross is the symbolization as Christians of our religion, so to speak, the cross. You see, the cross never was intended to be any type of ritual. It was never intended to wear around your neck. Because the cross, you see, the cross actually was a lethal injection. It was an electric chair. The cross was a symbolization of capital punishment. That the Romans had been using for years, and it put fear. The greatest fear of any man's life is to be crucified. One of the most painful deaths any human being could possibly go through. Soldiers of old, you may have watched movies where soldiers had white crosses on their blue shield. It didn't mean they were Christians. It meant that cross put fear into their enemies' hearts when they saw that cross. But as time began to grow, the cross no longer became an identification of doom, because after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, it became a symbol of life. It became a symbol of a different direction. It became a symbol of freedom. It became a symbol of relationship. It became a symbol that we can look at. It's on every home that is a Christian. We wear it around our neck. We have it in our offices. We remember the cross, because at the cross is where it all started. Amen? It's the cross. You see, it doesn't matter how big your checking account is or how intelligent you are or how smart you are. That will not get you in. And if you have two pennies in a sack and can't read and have faith, that will not keep you out. Glory to God. The cross sets us free, and realization realizes that our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the King of Kings, come down and accused him of being a prophet. But when they put him on that cross, up rose the King. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Turn with me this morning. I didn't have time to get with Brother Tom to Matthew chapter 28. Begin reading the verse in Matthew 27. Excuse me, Matthew chapter 27, beginning 46. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day that you've given to us. That we come into your house to worship you on this day as we celebrate the resurrection. That you were resurrected to the world and you've resurrected into our lives. And those that you have not resurrected in, before this day is over, I pray they shall receive freedom as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? This is my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of those stood there, and when they heard that, said, this man is calling Elijah. Immediately, one of them ran and took a sponge filled with sour vinegar, put it on a reed, and offered it to him. The rest said, let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come and save him. Then Jesus cried again with a loud voice, yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. And an earthquake, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to me. And when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. There was a reason for the cross. today for the cross. You see, the sins that you fight with, the sins I fight with, the sins we harbor in our heart, I did not call them sin. I did not call them wrong. God called them wrong. And we have an enemy. An enemy that is one who seeks everyone in this house to be doomed. And at that time, before the death of the cross, of the greatest kings who had ever lived, he ran havoc. There was no place. He ran havoc, out of control. There was no one to challenge him. He was the prince of night and the darkness. He ran almost freely. He did everything he could to destroy God's empire, as he's doing now. He has ran havoc to allow people to fall into some of the most disgusting, gross, murderous, tyrant situations they were during that day. But Sunday was coming. The title of my sermon is The Finishing Touch. I want you to agree my entire sermon this morning. I want you to harbor in your heart and your mind, Sunday is coming. Can you practice it with me for a moment? Sunday is coming. I want you to realize that while he was on the cross Friday, Sunday was coming. There was a time when the one who was run freely, bringing havoc on everyone, he held them in bondage. He had them in prison. I think I just went off. And therefore,
as he was
in prison, thank you, for centuries and centuries and centuries, they were in prison. He gloated because there was no opportunity. Therefore, as these people who never heard the word of Jesus Christ, they never heard a message. Isn't it kind of unfair that people who lived before the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, it was unfair that they never had an opportunity to repent, but Sunday was on its way. When the Pharaohs had the children of Israel and they were in bondage making bricks, Sunday was on the way. Glory to God. When Joseph was in the grave and he was being sold, I should say, in the hole, and therefore he was sold into slavery, Sunday was on the way. Hallelujah. We must read that King David, when King Solomon was chasing for him to destroy him, Sunday was on the way. Hallelujah. As we continue to read through the entire Old Testament, we can say Sunday was on the way. Hallelujah. Sunday's on the way. There's going to be a day of reckoning. And that day of reckoning was on Sunday. I did not have time to write everything down, but I've got to read you some scriptures this morning before I burst. I like overdrive, but you got to go through all the gears to get to overdrive. Matthew 12 and verse 40. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and nights in the heart of the earth. Sunday was on the way. And therefore, as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the fish of the belly, so was the Son of Man there. He had a divine appointment to one who had many people in bondage and in cells. I'm sure it kind of went like this. I have no scripture. If there really was a God, you wouldn't be trapped like this. to heaven. He went down there and he walked through those doors, and as many people that were there had captive and the demonic powers there, I'm sure he says, "Behold, step away. Those of you who no longer want to live this way, you can follow me." How many of you would like to walk out of your cell right now? How many of you will have to walk out of your situation right now? How many of you are waiting for someone to come knock on your cell door? It's Easter. Sunday's on its way. I witnessed the neighborhood I lived in that people were hooked on drugs and alcohol. I didn't know what to say now, but I can say Sunday was on the way when God sent his son Jesus Christ to go into the deep caverns of the earth and defeat death, hell, and the grave. We have been set free. Sin, the just and the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in flesh, being made alive by the Spirit. By him he also went to preach to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient, when once divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few of eight souls were saved through water. That can be found in Acts chapter 3 and verse 18 and 19. Peter reports that he was going, the people were even who were disobedient in the days and day of Noah. The disobedient days, I want you to realize, who didn't have an opportunity. Oh, but there is no more opportunity. The opportunity is right now. But when you lay your head down for the last time, I want you to realize Jesus Christ, he has destroyed everything that could hold us down. There's nothing that can hold you down. We have freedom in our lives. We have freedom. A missionary shared with me, he went to a foreign country and says that the richest man in the world lives here. Really? Bill has a house here? His name's not Bill. It was some type of dialect they'd never heard before. He went to see the richest man in the world in Africa. He had a hut that was a 6 by 6 foot hut, and he had a grass roof and a dirt floor, and he had a straw bed and a pillow from straw. He was the only man in town who had such a nice home. And he told the missionary, "Well, I'm blessed." Wow, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. You are blessed, and wow. But then we think about our possessions that we have. What does your possessions, according to God, look like? Where do our blessings come from? Thank you. We're blessed. We're blessed like no other nation there is. I don't care what the government does, what it says, I'm blessed. When I wake up in the morning, I'm protected by God. I go to work in Atlanta, and I drive 51 miles, and that's the hardest part of my job. I go to the parking deck, like, every morning. My truck knows how to get there by itself, I think. I'm sipping coffee, I'm listening to WLFJ, and I'm praising God, and that's my worship hour. Because once I get in that truck, I'm in the inner city of people who are not friendly, and everybody's mad. Nobody smiles. And everybody's a Christian. Just ask me. I go across the road, and there's a police officer that just had his, he's had enough night shift. He is expressing, and he is just talking, and it's something that can't be repeated ever. I walk in there and everybody's complaining about the weekend and what's all gone wrong. I sit down at my computer and I begin to look, and everyone's complaining. I'm like, "Well, look what you got to do. I used to work in a cotton mill." Have you ever worked in a cotton mill before?
Amen.
I used to work in a cotton mill, and I'm going to tell you something. I'll go in that cotton mill, and I will start at 12 o'clock at night. At 8 o'clock in the morning, there was not one dry stitch on me. I was soaking wet. I'd walk out of that mill, and I want you day in, day out. I was exhausted and tired until one day I become a weaver. Anybody ever been a weaver in a weave shop before? I want you to know, I'm not crazy. I want you to know that I felt like I had done backslid. I want you to realize that I felt like those clouds in the circus spinning the plates, and when they start spinning, you got to spin them again. I lost my mind. So I go to my computer and I sit down. I've got four things to do that day that I can knock them out in about 4 hours. And the rest of the day, I just walk around talking about Jesus. I don't have time to complain. I'm celebrating where I used to be. There was a time in my life that I couldn't put A, I couldn't start A in front of B. There was a time in my life I couldn't speak to you because I stuttered so bad. There was a time in my life there was so much sin that I was in bondage. But how about you? If you have this platform, which you don't, I do. Unfortunately, not the way I wanted. I must have brother here to Pastor Mindy this morning. But I want you to know, how about deliverance in your life? Are you happy? What kind of complaining do you have going in your life? Because Sunday's here. Sunday's no longer on the way. Sunday's here. We have been delivered. The cross is here. The resurrection is here. Glory to God. He is alive. I want you to realize the gospel, the opportunity is here, the message directly from Jesus for the purpose of repentance. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah for repentance. And I want you to know that we have repentance and it is here. For the sake of time, I'm going to run through some scriptures right fast like in Revelation chapter 1. And my little sticky note, something happened to me. Revelation chapter 1, and we'll read just verse 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me. Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. In 18. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. I have the keys of Hades and death. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, death, you have been defeated when our Savior Jesus Christ walked through that tomb. Oh, Satan, where is your grip? Because I rest secure in the bosom of Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. There's no sense in glooming of our world. I'm going to be a little worldly, if I may. I come home sometimes and I listen to a guy named Sean Hannity. And I begin to chuckle. This man's a multi-million dollar. He's a multi-millionaire. And he makes a living on making people angry about what's going on with the world. I listen to it for a few moments. And I begin to chuckle when I have to turn it. And I have nobody to make fun of anymore since Neil Bortz retired. What a shame. But we have to come to the point of the realization that the whole world's in the uproar of what's going to happen. Let's take a few minutes. Sunday's on the way. Jesus has got it taken care of. Okay. It's time to go home and rest and grill out and enjoy our day. We can get upset all we want, but Jesus has got this. He's got it in the ship. Football or the Starry Falcons. We're going to a game. The game is throw Satan in the hole for the last time. It's Jordan McKibben. I hope he'll give me the pleasure of doing that. That's okay. That's when he's going to take a knee and he's going to bow down at the feet of Jesus. And he's going to say, you are the King of Kings and you are the Lord of Lords. And I'm defeated. begins to have disruptions in your life, I want you to realize there's something that happens. This man breaks through and he pulls his rowboat through like this, and there's an S. Stands for super being, and that's Jesus. And he looks at Satan and he goes, no. 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 And Satan says, yes, sir. The reason we're in bondage is because we've been lied to. Because this happened in our life and that happened in our life. Dr. Fields made a fortune. Phil Donahue made a fortune. Oprah Winfrey made a fortune. It's because we didn't have anything when I was young. It's the reason I was a robber. I was raised in the hood. Trust me. I know what happens to people. I was raised there. I know what it's like for little. Ever can't say no man here goes and robs a store because he didn't have no money for his shoes. Let me give you a break. If they didn't went to church and paid their tithes, I'd been blessed. Hallelujah. And they questioned me. And I used to go home. And when I gave my heart to God, I'd go to the place and say, hey, you're not. I thought I'd come tell you about Jesus. Remember all those days you used to count me up against the wall, checking me out, and all I wanted to do was go see a high school football game? Well, I want to tell you about Jesus. See, the mayor likes me. Mayor told me I can witness all I want to. Jail cells. Matter of fact, he told me I need to call me at night. Really? Yeah, here's your phone number right here. Check it. He told me I can kind of be like, what? I used that to my advantage. But I must go on. When I go home, I wear my best clothes. And I walk down that drug infested world that nobody wants to walk down anymore. And I hold my head high. Not because I'm better than they are. Because what Satan did, he meant it for death. And what God did, he meant it for life. Amen. And when I walk in that community, I hold my head high. But what breaks my heart is the friend I grew up with. There's four left. Drugs. Alcoholism, son turned your life over to same relation, and caught diseases and are gone. When I first met Rose, I took her to the hood. She had to know where I came from. And there was a guy named Ken. Don't you know that Ken and I never saw eye to eye? But Ken believed in me when I told him Jesus loved him. And one day, Ken came to my yard, and here's my lovely wife, whose father's funeral was held at his church. And my wife's life, her life came to an end almost around Easter, the loss of her father. But August was on the way, she found me. Ken Dayton came into my yard. Bobby, I've got AIDS, and God don't care. I said, yes, he does. And I hugged him, and I was like, I told him I loved him. And I hugged him. And I said, Ken, God does care. Yes. And I prayed for him. And last year I asked Mom, I said, how's Ken doing? She said, he's still running around crazy. But he's still alive. Tell everybody God healed him, but he ain't going to church. How many times do we want the blessings of God that we're not going to sacrifice together? It's not your daddy or your mama's fault, the situation you're in. Because Jesus Christ destroyed that situation. don't know how I'm getting this done. I've got these four notes together. Let's go. Oh, big Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ does not want you to walk away today of another Easter where you left over Easter eggs. This is not another Easter. I have a new shirt off. That's all I have. Got a couple months ago and went shopping at a discount store. You all look very beautiful, whether it's Easter or not. Because when we have the anointing of Jesus Christ, our training becomes beautiful. Your chains have been broken. There's no reason you can't leave this church skipping and happy and singing. I was coming to the office and my boss says, Bobby, you got to quit rejoicing all the time. You make me sick. I said, hey, my problem, you don't believe. I want you to realize there's no reason you can't have freedom this morning. There's no reason you can't leave here celebrating. I don't care if you fish the chickens that you're for. You can leave here happy and set free. Oh, I had this great sermon planned out that I wanted, and God said no. 5 o'clock in the morning, I went to bed about 1 o'clock. I looked at God, you're killing me! And then I began to write scriptures down and I began to say, yes, sir. Somebody here, you're in prison. And those doors are locked. And you shake those gates. God, if you can, you'd send somebody to open these gates. He did. Over 2,000 years ago, he did. Some of you this morning got shackles on your hands. You want to break away, but you're scared. You're scared what people will think. You see, the drug addict don't want to be a drug addict. He wants to be set free, but he's scared to, because he's scared that God can't fix it. You see, the reason we can't pay our tithes is because we're scared of God. I need a new pair of work boots the other day. I'll be honest with you, I got a bad foot. I destroyed it. An inferior, dusty doctor, and I looked at him, and Bobby said, hey, because that man is not like me. He hadn't been surgery, I destroyed my heel, my subtotal, and the calcaneus exploded. Surgeon got ready. I said, I want to be awake for the whole surgery. He said, no. I said, yes. He's doing the surgery. He says, why? So I want to pray over every screw, every anchor, and every plate because I work with my hands. I can't sit behind a desk. He said, you'll never walk over 10 minutes, an hour. I walk 8 hours a day because of him, not because of God. Time's up. No. But I want you to realize that God wants us to do one thing. I was praying in there, and the nurse got disgusted and shut him up. And then I said, I can't. I promised him to go away. Can I pray it? And the anesthesiologist was a Christian from Jamaica. He said, hey, brother, look, you know, I'm a believer too. And then a believer, I believe that we got, you know, I don't know any English songs. Do you know any Jamaican songs? I said, no. I remember back in the late 70s, Truth wrote a song. And it meant like this. Lighting the candle, everything's all right. Shutting the door, keep out the devil. Somebody knows it too. Shutting the door, keep out the devil. Shutting the door, keep out the devil. Light the candle, everything's all right. We're singing that song. And as these dogs are doing like this, because I can see it. And God and I is doing surgery. I said, I want to see an x-ray of what you're doing. Took the x-ray and I saw what he was doing. I said, it looks good. He said, how would you know? I said, I don't. It keeps you on your toes. Please, tell him. Bobby says hello. But he, God can fix you this morning. You don't have to go back to your cell and close the door and look. You don't have to sit in your dungeon anymore. You don't have to go back to your cell. You don't. Jeff Stokes was a friend of mine who was wasted on acid and heroin. You know what Jeff Stokes did? He went home. He laid in bed and told his mom, "I don't want to be bothered." Jeff Stokes single-handedly by himself came off of drugs and went to church. My sister Karen comes to the piano and asks you on this Easter Sunday morning, Jesus is here. Sunday's arrived. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Do you want to live the way you are? Do you want to be set free? Oh, wait a minute. I want to share something with you. Obey God and let God worry about the consequences. Let God worry about putting the pieces together. Obey God and allow God to make it right. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about what, who would say or what they would say. This morning, it's you. Good morning is here. There's no excuse. Because Jesus has got bold colors. And he cut your chains, and he opened the doors. You don't have freedom. You have make-believe freedom. You're not set free. You want to be set free, but you really not. When you by yourself, there's that still voice that says, I love you. And there's that want to walk out. But when you go to walk out, there's a strong arm. Jesus defeated that strong arm. Let's carry place. Here we head back. As we celebrate Easter, the resurrection of a king, God put the finishing touches on his creation. He gave the people before the cross and the people after the cross a chance. How about you? If you tell me, I want to be set free right now, but I don't know how, you raise your hand and I'm going to come to you and we'll come up here together and pray. Because I promise you God's here. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Just come right here. I'll walk with you. I'll walk with you. Because I've been there many times. I'll walk with you. Because there's been times I need a friend. I'm good, brother. I'm going away. Here, do some tears. You know that? Things that get you to heaven quicker than anything. Could I have some men pray for our brother, please? Could I have some men pray for our brother? Can I pray for our brother? Send your hand, please. And pray. Anyone else? Say, I want to be set free this morning. I don't want another day. I don't want another day of living a fair life that I'm not free with. Is there another? Would you raise your hands and pray for me? I need to be living to my life. Will you pray for me? God bless you. I went out further this service. I want to went out. Hold your very patience. Do you have a friend? Our relatives who need to be set free. These altars are for you to pray for that friend. God wants you to be set free. Bless you. This is Karen. play softly. I'm going to pray with our brother and bless you. Praise the Lord and the honor. In the name of Jesus.